I'm just getting a medium hot.
Medium hot.
Two sugars, extra cream.
Anything else?
That's it. You know my order.
Hey, go ahead and pull up. 224.
Two sugars, extra cream.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. All March long, Bill Curry Ford is holding a food drive for Pace Center for Girls. Curry it forward. Drop off your canned food today at the Bill Curry Ford Showroom, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, and help support their mission. They've been sending out so much food this month. Keep it going. Bill Curry Ford.
Normally, I would dream about Giselle. Oh, boy. Did he have any clothes on, Ira?
Yeah. Buccaneers fans, less than 6 months till kickoff of the regular season. How about that, Ira? He is the man. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, the star of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Amazing deals going on there right now. Savings with your tax return. All sorts of incentives from Ford. No payment opportunities. And of course, their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. GM Sean Sullivan is fired up to help you personally. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, I've been crying my eyes out all day before this podcast because I sat down and I watched that new NFL Films mini documentary running through the Bucs season. It wasn't the greatest thing I ever watched, but I was just in tears, Ira. Absolute tears.
It may not be as good as America's Game, which is fantastic, when they use three guys to narrate the team's championship season. But it will do the job, Steve, certainly for Buck fans. Gentlemen, this is the way I'm going to start this podcast. Lee, I hope you're sitting down. One of the reasons this is the nation's go-to Buck podcast is because our listeners never know what they're going to get, Lee. They never quite know. And in that vein, Mr. DeCamper, this is directed towards you. The other day, and I'm not afraid to admit this, I woke up, couldn't quite remember all the details of a dream, but I turned to my wife and she said, "Man, you were talking to yourself. What the hell were you dreaming about?" I said, "Tom Brady. Tom Brady was in my dream. Tom Brady." She's been looking at me kind of funny. Then I made a mistake yesterday. The guys I play tennis with in the morning, I told them that I had a dream about Tom Brady. Immediately, one of them said, "Did he have any clothes on, Ira? Did he have any clothes?" These are the guys that I'm playing with. But I'm not ashamed to admit it. Now, I don't know what the details are, but I can tell you this. I'm mad as hell. And I haven't met Tom Brady yet. I'm mad. I've been doing this for 45 years. I think I deserve to at least meet the guy in person, shake his hand, you know, congratulate him. And these Zoom calls aren't getting it done for me. So that's how I'm going to start this podcast. The guy whose name's on this podcast is having dreams about Tom Brady. Steve, are you breathing? Are you breathing, Isbitt?
Lee, you want to take that?
I don't have anything to say outside of, you know, you got to start blaming whoever worked in that Wuhan gang laboratory, because they're the ones that started the damn virus, and that's why the NFL has us banned from all the facilities. So that's why. If you're mad, that's who you get mad at.
Steve, maybe that second Moderna shot, you know, messed up my equilibrium or something. I don't know what's going on. Normally, I would dream about Giselle, not Brady. Steve, I'm all messed up, but I'm ready for this podcast.
Ira, just get in your car. You know where Brady lives. Drive down there, ring the bell, say it's Ira Kaufman. Come on now. If you're that mad, go do. There's all kinds of looky-loos there. I'm sure one of our great listeners would be happy to put you on the back of a jet ski or a small boat and cruise by Brady's yard with your megaphone and make things happen, Ira, like back in Brooklyn.
Steve, I could tell him that I have an MVP vote, so I voted for him, and I had an MVP vote last month for the Super Bowl, and I voted for Brady. So, you know, we've got a little connection over there, Stevie. I've covered many a Brady playoff game over the years. I can show him my old clips. Lee, you think that would work if I show him some old Tampa tributes? What do you think?
Perhaps, but I'm just kind of trying to figure this out. You're all hacked off that you can't meet Brady, and I'm all hacked off that I've yet to meet Gronkowski's girlfriend. especially after she admitted on Kyle Brandt's podcast when he bluntly asked, which one of you two are more horny? She confessed her.
Oh, boy. Steve, we're going to keep this podcast on a level plane, even though I opened it with a dream about Thomas Bree.
All right. Let me throw this to you guys, since it's a little bit timely and it's football. You know, we talked about that NFL Films DVD coming out, and we spent a lot of time last season sort of trying to figure out who was really pulling the strings, calling the shots with the offense. So two things emerged, Ira, this week, one from the video, one not from the video. First one was Shaq did Chris Collinsworth's podcast, and Collinsworth said, look, you know, hey, I'd be remiss not to ask you, you know, all through the season, a good chunk of it, people are trying to figure out whose offense is it, who's making adjustments, who's pulling strings here, Brady's way of playing, Arians, whatever. What do you think, Shaq? And I was surprised. I thought Shaq would have said, I don't know, man, you know, but he basically said that they eventually moved toward a 50-50 kind of split. And he said, you know, it's Arians' offense and, you know, Leftwich calling the shots and blah, blah, blah. And then he said, we moved toward Tom, quote, as if Tom is the name of an offense. And he said it got, you know, 50% Tom toward the end of the year when we started pounding the ball more play action, deep shots. And so that was interesting. But follow up to Ira and Lee in the video, there's a cut there in the Super Bowl where NFL Films picks up Arians, turns to Leftwich and says, in the Super Bowl, keep the hammer down. And Leftwich says, yeah, I ain't stopping. This is in the second half. And I thought that was very interesting. It's like, hey, if Arians is calling the shots, if he's calling the plays, if he's telling Leftwich what to do all the time, he's not going to tell him to keep the hammer down. He would just, you know, call the play himself. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Arians had a little bit of panic in his voice, like, you better keep the hammer down. So there you go. What do you think, guys?
Well, on the hammer down situation, I wouldn't read too much into it. I think it was a reflection of the remarkable way the Chiefs have of coming back in the postseason. I mean, especially last year, it was absolutely remarkable. I believe they were losing 9-0 to Buffalo, Lee, this year. So they don't start particularly well. But we know how Mahomes finishes. So, you know, they didn't want to let up. And I can't blame Arians on that. And, Lee, as far as the offense taking on a more distinct Brady tone, that's just common sense. Lee, that's common sense. I mean, assuredly, you know, at the bye week with only a quarter of the season left, you got a chance to review and self-scout. You know, what do? You keep the stuff that's working and you toss out the stuff that's not. And, you know, by definition, that's leaning a little bit towards more what Brady wants. So they would be silly, in my opinion, not to tailor more and more of the offense around the GOAT as the season progressed. They did. And the proof is, Lee, in the last 8 games, of which he didn't lose one, Brady was routinely spectacular. I think he threw 4 picks. Lee, 3 of them came at Lambeau in the playoff game. So that means the other 7 games he threw 1 pick. 1. And while he was throwing 22 touchdowns in those final 8 games. So nothing shocking there. But I'm with Steve. I thought Shaq Barrett would kind of deflect that question. But, you know, Shaq's feeling his oats, Lee. He wants to weigh in on everything.
I have reached the point where I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn if it's Byron Leftwich's offense. I don't give a damn if it's Bruce Arians. I don't give a damn if it's Tom Brady's. I don't give a damn if it's Josh McDaniels. I don't give a damn if it's Lovie Smith. I don't give a damn if it's Mike Smith. They average 30 points a game in the playoffs. I don't care. You got the job done. I don't care if anybody, even at halftime, thought that Bucks were going to keep the Chiefs without scoring a touchdown. I don't think you would have found one person in that stadium anywhere that would have said, hey, second half, the Chiefs are still going to get blank. They're only going to get field goals. I don't think you'd find one person. So, of course, Arians whatever that really means, keep the hammer down. I didn't see the video yet, so I don't know exactly what he was referring to. And knowing how NFL Films likes to have creative editing, who knows if Arian said that in the first drive or the second last drive of the game. We don't know.
Steve, I got another point, and I've made it before, Steve. And before you say, Ira, you've said that because you've got a hell of a memory, Hizbit. Steve, I'm going to say it every week. I think it's the biggest story in Buck history, and I'm going to say it every week. And that is, there has never been a time since 1976 when you looked at this franchise going into a draft and they didn't have a glaring need or multiple glaring needs. And that is not the case, gentlemen. Lee, I cannot believe what I'm seeing when I look at this roster. And you could say, well, if they lose Sue, they could need a defensive tackle next to Vita Vea. Lee, I'm going to suggest that Nunez Roches and the guy they drafted in the sixth round last year, they can get by, Lee. It's not glaring. You know, you're talking about your second defensive tackle. Certainly, Vea is going to be the number one guy there, if not now, very soon. They don't have a glaring need, gentlemen. And I'm not talking about a backup quarterback, Steve, or depth as an edge rusher. Glaring. And I can't believe how much has changed in a year. I just cannot believe they had to have a right tackle. They had to have a safety. They got them. And now it's unbelievable what has happened to this team, Steven.
All right, Ira, I'm not going to argue with you, but I am going to dial you back to something you said about 5 minutes ago. You said it's common sense, the evolution of the Buccaneers offense, and I agree with you. And like Lee said, the results were the results. We saw what the last eight games brought. Eight wins, Super Bowl, some great defenses, enough said. But that common sense phrase, Ira, I think is important where we sit now with the Bucs, because if it's common sense, and what we saw in the last eight games is what the Bucs want to do, and Lee has already told us, Clyde Christensen explained that, hey, you know what? We were, maybe another half season away from super peaking. Hey, even though we're proud of what we did, we weren't there yet. Then isn't it common sense to make sure Leonard Fournette gets back on this football team so they can pound the football the way they want to with two excellent running backs and a promising young guy or guy with potential in Keyshawn Vaughn? Isn't it critical to bring back Fournette?
I don't think it's critical, Steve, but I think it's preferential to have him back. I do say that. Now, Lee, you know that I'm a Ronald Jones guy, and you have come around on Ronald Jones. How could you not? You know, he's got stone hands. Okay, got stone hands. I'm not trying to build him up as Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield. But I understand Steve's point, Lee. You know, Vaughn is unproven. James White's been, talked about, but he's not much of a running back carrying the load. They could draft a guy, the kid out of Alabama, could be there at 32. He could fit there, but Lee, I'm not sure they're going to be able to bring Fournette back. I think there's some serious interest in Fournette. I got to think there's a couple of teams vying for him, including the Patriots. Lee, it reminds me a little bit about when they swooped in and got LeGarrette Blount. And Lee, you know what he did one of those years in New England? He scored 18 touchdowns. 18. Fournette's a battering ram. And he's better. And he's faster than Blount. So I don't think it's going to be easy for the Bucs to bring back Fournette at a decent price. They can. Hats off to Light.
Ira, let me follow up on a few things you mentioned there. First, the Ndamukong Suh today. Word is out, he is just about to sign a $9 million deal plus incentives, so he gets a little bit of a raise, no hometown discount there for Sue, and that means the entire Buccaneers starting defense would be back, which is just almost incredible and unprecedented at the same time from a Super Bowl team. James White is going back to New England for $2.5 million, fully guaranteed, one-year deal, so maybe Fournette is looking for more. I don't know how that factors in. I guess potentially the Patriots could still be looking at Fournette if they're looking to rework their running back stable. But so that's where that sits right now.
didn't the Bucks trade Blunt for the immortal Jeff Demps? Remember, people were going absolutely wild about Jeff Demps.
Yes.
Worthless.
Yeah.
The fastest guy in football. That's all we heard.
All right, Ari. I just had to throw that out there for the sake of common sense, because to me, if we believe that the Bucks offense looked the way they wanted to do late in the season, to me, you got to bring back Fournette. You can't gamble. Fournette becomes a critical piece if you look at it that way. And like I wrote several times on Joe Bucks Fan, I believe the Bucks were 8-0, maybe 9-0 when Fournette got 10 or more carries in a game, which says something. I don't, you know, whatever it is, it says something. Ira, disasters happen all the time, and I'm not talking about you missing lunch. And when it happens in your home, you have to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. They are there 24/7. Great local company. We know the owners. Josh Martin does a fantastic job catering to Bucks fans and people and families and businesses and apartment complexes all over the Tampa Bay area. But if you see water, if you smell mold, don't wait. Get a free assessment. If you don't have an expert checking out what's happening in your home, you're going to end up with a real problem. They will help you with your insurance company. Make that first phone call for a free assessment to Florida's Elite Restoration.
You're not really kidding here, because mold can be a serious problem. Not always. Not always. What you're looking for is some direction from people that you can trust. Josh hires the best people. We've met them. They're professionals in every sense of the word. So if you think you have a problem, get it checked out. But Florida's Elite Restoration should be your first phone call.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And Josh Martin, Ira, he actually comes from the insurance side of the business. He has seen, he understands what they do, how they operate, and how they don't necessarily want to make everything the way it should be in your home. Florida's Elite Restoration, they will help you. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
I'll grant Lee this one point, certainly. Leonard Fournette carrying the football is a lot better than James White carrying the football. Steve, we can all agree on that.
It's a no-brainer. They're two different players. You know, look, if Tom Brady got hurt for three games and you want to hand the ball off to Leonard Fournette 32 times a game, you can do that. You can't do that with James White. Very different players. And we hit this last podcast. It's an unknown. You know, I just wanted to pick up on that common sense comment that you made, Ira. One thing about Devin White. First, like you said, Ira, he sort of painted in that video, it's almost as if NFL Films decided they want to project him as a future Hall of Famer. Now, I understand he had a great run, and he does so much trash talking that he's a lot of fun for NFL Films, and it's probably going to help his profile in a big way. If you notice, Levante David was sort of completely absent from that entire video on the field. There were some off-the-field moments for him,
right.
But Devin White himself was all over the place. I thought there was one interesting moment at the end of the Green Bay game. He and Tom Brady are walking off the field, celebration's over, and White says to Brady with frustration in his voice, after this big win, they're going to the Super Bowl, he says, we still didn't play our best yet. And Brady very quickly replies, nope, we save it. And they sort of get quiet and walk off as if you know, there's a lot more work to be done. And it sort of painted White as the heir to the Brady throne, I thought.
I think that's a great point, Steve. And you're right. And I wonder if the Bucks had anything to do with, you know, some of the themes of the video. Maybe, maybe not. But Lee, you've noted from the start, from the first day, Lee, that Devin White walked into One Buck Place as a member of this team, he had a swagger about him. And it's gotten nothing but grown larger, Lee. And wait till you see this video. Steve's right. He is the Brady counterpart for the defense. Now, Brady doesn't, you know, he's not a trash talker like White, but I think White thinks he can be the best linebacker in football. He might darn be on his way. And Lee, there's a moment, I got it in my column today, where Christian McCaffrey, this is week two. Lee, you know McCaffrey's done nothing, very little against the Bucks in the 2 years since White's been a Buck. And he's a big part of it, and he's part of the reason I think he was drafted, is that they got McCaffrey and Kamara in the division. I think that was a factor. But, you know, he makes this tackle on McCaffrey, you know, for a one-yard gain or something, and McCaffrey says something like, you're the best in the league.
Now, I assume he meant maybe inside linebacker, not player. But, I mean, that's a heck of a compliment. McCaffrey's only seen this guy at that point, you know, 3 games. That's a lot of respect from one outstanding player to another. If it's not already, Lee, this will very quickly be Devin White's defense, for better or worse.
Oh, I agree with that. You know, obviously I haven't seen the film yet, but I have written this story already for JoeBucksFan.com. If you compare just the numbers, Ray Lewis's first playoff run, Devin White, I hope, his first playoff run. That, what I mean by that is there's more to come. White had better numbers than Lewis. And there's no doubt that the trail that White and the Bucks took to get to the Super Bowl was significantly harder than what Lewis played against. I mean, White's going to get against Breeze and Rodgers. Ray Lewis is going to get the slop.
Hey, Steve, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but and I think the video emphasized this a little bit. By the end of the year, and you know, we took our pot shots at Devin White about his coverage, that he had a ways to go, and he wasn't there yet. But I think we got to say, when the postseason rolled around, he certainly was not a liability in coverage. And, Steve, that pick he made on that pass that was going to Kamara with the Saints game that was still kind of up in the air at that point, that was a beautiful interception in terms of reading the play off a guy that doesn't throw many interceptions in Drew Brees. So the guy's working on all facets of the game. And if you're a Buck fan, boy, the sky's the limit for Devin White, Steve.
I wrote a couple of things recently, Ira. I had been saving the interview for weeks. It was Devin White on ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge. And he talked about how he heard all the chatter about how he wasn't very good in coverage. And he was like, what the hell, man? Where is this coming from? And, you know, but he took that and said, you know what? All right, I got to get better in coverage. I'm going to focus more on coverage. This is midseason. And I'm going to work on it a little even harder, and I'll dial in, and you know, maybe what they're saying is a little bit right. I got to make more plays. And interesting that he had that attitude directly from what he was hearing in the media. He didn't just get pissed. He was like, all right, well, maybe there's something to it, and I'm just going to, even though I don't see it, I'm going to work on it, which I thought was kind of neat. But he's an interesting guy, man. The more these stories come out, Kevin Minter was on the same radio station, and he talked about how when he was in Arizona, and Minter played at LSU when he was in Arizona with the Cardinals, he's just, you know, a 3 or 4 year veteran. He starts getting messages on social media and Instagram from Devin White saying, hey, I'm a freshman at LSU and I'm going to break all your records, man. And I want to know what you did in the weight room. And I, you know, and Minter goes on to say, quote, he's been on my ass since his freshman year in college, that he just wouldn't stop because Minter was one of his heroes and he was convinced that he was going to, you know, shatter everything he ever did. And and Minter's like, who is this fool? I don't even know who this guy is. He's just hounding me. So
these stories are fantastic, Lee. I mean, if you're a Buck fan and you're listening to this about Devin White, we all know the kind of natural ability he's got, the gifts, and the speed that just jumps out. And by the way, Lee, you'll see it on this video. It's incredible, the angles that they show, you know, Devin White making some of these tackles, and that closing speed is really breathtaking. Lee, you combine that with this kind of an attitude, what a package. You know, look, I wasn't thrilled with the pick at number 5. You certainly weren't thrilled at number 5, Lee, considering there were a couple of, you know, edge rushers on the board that you had your eye on. But nobody can quibble with that pick, Lee. Nobody.
Maybe they did, but I don't think anybody expected him to be as good as what he's turned out to be in his second season. And like I said, when people are using me, for example, using the name Ray Lewis, when he outplayed Ray Lewis, when you compare what Ray Lewis did his first playoff run and White's first playoff run, that's incredible. Hey, I give White all the credit in the world. When he came back from having the COVID, he was on fire. And, you know, I didn't see it, but Steve saw it where he was whining about it. And people said I couldn't cover. Well, guess who Drew Brees and Sean Payton targeted in a playoff game? When they had all, you know, how many, what, 400 plays to choose from? Who did they go after? It wasn't Carlton Davis. It was Mr. White. Because he was suspect earlier in his career about pass coverage. There is a reason why people wrote that. They didn't just invent it. They didn't just manufacture it. They didn't pull a rabbit out of a hat and we'll just come up with some reason to write. No, there was evidence of it. And even the stat geeks had him with a poor pass coverage rating. There was a reason for that. And Sean Payton targeted the guy, to his credit, he improved in pass coverage. And I'm glad he did, because the Bucs probably wouldn't be Super Bowl champions if he didn't improve in the area. The guy was played like a madman after he got back from COVID. And more power to him.
Yeah, Steve, two more quick points. One, we haven't even mentioned that he almost finished with double-digit sacks. And I think Lee talked about this at one point during the season. Very rare. I went back about 20 years. I think I could only find one inside linebacker. I forgot who it was, but I think I had 11 sacks. But for an interior inside linebacker, double-digit sacks, that doesn't happen, Steve. So that's number one. Maybe the reason they sent them so often, two reasons. One, he's real good at it. And two, he wasn't that good in coverage, maybe earlier in the season. Second point, guys, his numbers as a rookie, I think, would have been markedly better had he not hurt his knee early in the season. And then when he came back, Steve, he wasn't right for about two, three more weeks with that brace. So, add it all up and, what a weapon the Bucs have in Devin White.
Wow. Yeah, I don't even think they necessarily blitzed him as much as it ties to the sacks. I want to say maybe four of those nine sacks were just him hunting down scrambling quarterbacks with his incredible speed and catching them a yard before the line of scrimmage. They all count. They're all sacks. They're all impact plays. They definitely get in quarterbacks' heads. But it's not like he was those were all true blitzes with him just hammering quarterbacks 7 yards back. But it's an interesting element to his game. And, Sage, I got to tell you this. What's exciting is that Sonny Key Lime is the new name for the Key Lime Shandy beer, Big Storm beer. So that fantastic Key Lime Shandy that your wife enjoyed so much, it's got a new name, same colorful can, same beer, but it's Sonny Key Lime. So look for that in stores. And, of course, it's a classic at all of the – it's a core beer at all of the Big Storm tap rooms in Clearwater, Odessa on Success Drive, Cape Coral, and the brand new location at Amway Center. In Amway Center, access from the outside, though. You can go there any day right there in Orlando. And Big Storm Clearwater is the site of our draft party, Ira. First night of the draft. It's a long way off, but it's closer than you might think. And it's going to be great indoors, outdoors. We've been putting up pictures. What you're going to want to do is follow Big Storm Clearwater on Facebook, and I love following them on Facebook, Ira, because they pop their specials. And I saw one the other day. I thought of you immediately. Brisket grilled cheese.
Steve, you're so accommodating to me. I hate to throw you a compliment, but Lee, you know what I'm talking about. And, you go out of your way to make me comfortable. Steve, the ultimate favor, perhaps the ultimate, would be you leaning on your people at Big Storm, and you know all of them, people of influence. And, Steve, just for that night, just for draft night, when we're going to be surrounded by hundreds of our closest friends at Joe Bucks Fan, could you get the Reuben back on the menu, Stevie, for that one night? Could you do it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Ira. The Clearwater location, I will guarantee that we will have the Ira Kauf and Reuben. We'll even get it on the blackboard for you. Not a problem. Not a problem, Ira. And, of course, BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can find all the tap rooms. BigStormBrewery.com. 7 days a week. Live music now outdoors in that beautiful area, Ira. Friday and Saturday in Clearwater, often on Sunday as well. But the music of the draft party is going to be that Bucks 32nd pick. And, Ira, you said that they don't really have any needs this year. And hopefully that's the case. Hopefully they can bring back Sue. And hopefully they can bring back Fournette, because I really think running back would be a need if you don't bring back Fournette. That's just the way I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys disagree. But the good teams in the league typically have two quality backs, and I think you need to go into it like they did last year. They did the smart thing. They did the thing that Lee and I were screaming about, is load up on running backs. Don't rely on a rookie to replace Fournette if you can actually get Fournette. But the draft strategy, Ira, I'm going to throw this out there, Lee, and I can't wait to have Sean Sullivan, GM of Bill Curry Ford, our draft guru, our in-house guy. He's been studying like a madman to get some of his takes on the draft. We're going to have him on twice before the draft actually kicks off in late April. But, Ira, I'll say this. Jason Light has proven that he knows how to draft receivers. Unbelievable track record with receivers. He knows how to draft offensive linemen. Great track record with offensive linemen. And, you know, he's had some success at other positions as well. But if they don't have needs, I would like them to stick with their strength. You know, try to get the best impact guys you can get. And that would be at receiver and at offensive line, where you can't afford to have a hole. And maybe that's the one position where you're willing to not necessarily develop a guy, but you know, look a little bit toward the future with the understanding that injuries happen like they do every single year.
Steve, I absolutely disagree with you about receiver. Absolutely disagree. You're talking about the strength of this team. I mean, they're 4 or 5 deep, depending on what happens with Antonio Brown. They got the best wide receiver tandem in football, and they're paying them like they have the best two. And I think they do have the best two as a tandem, although Seattle's guys are very good also. Then they're backed by Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson, who I'm dying to see more of. And you want to throw, you know, some kid into the mix. Come on, Steve. Now, if the guy is the highest graded guy on the board, Lee, I guess I won't bitch about it if it happens to be a receiver. But if position comes into the reasoning at all, to me, receiver is like 8th on the list. I don't understand Steve's thinking here.
I've made my preferences pretty clear. You're all in on this year. You're going for two. I don't want to hear the word development whatsoever. Shouldn't even be used. You should draft at 32, one of two people. Number one, the player on that board. I don't give a damn what position he is. The player on that board who you believe can have an immediate impact on the team. Again, I don't give a damn what position he is. The player who can provide the most immediate impact to winning a Super Bowl. And that's saying a lot because it's a rookie. But I said most, which could be 20%, could be 25%, right, whatever. And in my line of thinking, that would be a running back. But if you think you can draft a linebacker and he can make the biggest impact, okay. Or a safety. Okay, whatever. The player who you believe can have the biggest impact in yield. That would be my number one pick, whoever that is. That's Jason Light's job to do all the research, to have all that at his hand. Number two, and the Bucs will not do this. They should do this. We've talked about this before. Start grooming a damn quarterback for when Brady, whenever that is, 45, 46, 48, whatever that is. Ira, I don't know if you saw the video where Jameis Winston was asked in a Zoom meeting about what Drew Brees meant to him. And he basically got very emotional. And basically, Brees took him under his wing, it sounds like, and was teaching him, this is what you got to do. It sounds like, it was almost sounded like a shot at Dirk Cutter. But he was saying Brees meant so much to him, and he got teary-eyed. He got very emotional, and I've never seen Jameis like that before. And I thought to myself, gosh darn, you trying to tell me that Brady and all these coaches the Bucs have couldn't have this kind of impact on, let's say, Mac Jones? And we've talked about this before. I just believe they're missing a golden opportunity to groom a successor, whenever that may be, for Brady, but they won't do it. And so I don't expect them to do it. But gosh darn, I would love to see Mac Jones just, I don't give a damn if it's 3 years. He sits behind If you just watch this, how Brady prepares, which is what James was talking about with Drew Brees, and be coached up by great coaches, you cannot tell me that can't be a positive impact on a young quarterback. But they won't do it, so it's, you know, it's like me talking about welcoming Rachel Watson to my home.
Well, Lee,
if the Bucs think they can draft a tight end, who there's another deep position, that this guy can have an impact right away, okay, do it. Whoever can have the biggest impact, because you're trying to repeat.
You got to acknowledge that at number 32, and it's a quarterback-heavy draft in the top 10, especially, you know, you're not going to move up to number 7. I mean, you're not going to do
no.
that. So,
nor should they.
Nor should they. And, Steve, so, you know, you're talking about the number 7 quarterback off the board, and at that point, you know, is that a guy that Arians really – is interested in developing? I mean, it's an open question.
The key word is developing, and you don't know until you start developing the guy. And allegedly, they've got all these great gurus. You know, you don't know if you don't try. Some general managers would tell you, draft a quarterback every year if you can. You never know if you're going to hit the jackpot in the 5th round. So it's an unknown. I'll say this, though, as far as tight end depth that Lee mentioned, if the Bucs pay O.J. Howard $6 million that he's due and they don't give it to Fournette, I'm going to punch the wall. I'm going to break my hand. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, some of this depth drives me insane. We got to get the key figures back here because that's sort of the theme of the offseason. But Ira, I hear what you're saying with the receiver and all that, but you still can't have too many receivers in a passing league. And if you get a top talent, you know, let them compete. I'm not scared of the competition here. Let, you know, guys get hurt. That's why we even signed Antonio Brown last year, because they were desperate with 3 injured receivers. And, you know, as far as the offensive lineman goes, I think Light does a great job. If you get an interior offensive lineman here, a top pick, the odds are you're going to have that injury. Ira, you talk about it every year. The Bucs get very, very lucky with their interior injuries. But that can't last forever. There's an extra football game next year, which increases the odds even more. And they ended up needing a guy who never played before, who you know, ran 4 games in Aaron Stinney and you know, made it to the Super Bowl, and then they won. So they even needed it last year. I don't know. I would trust Light to draft a center or a guard. You know, most likely they're going to need him anyway.
I think that makes sense. And it's not that Morpeth is getting old. Certainly Cap is young. That's not the point, but they have been very fortunate. You know, some Buck fans don't hate it when I say it, but they have been up front particularly fortunate health-wise on the offensive line. And when you see what goes on with other teams, you know, it's all relative. Those guys get beat up, you know, 65 snaps a game. So, Steve, I'm totally on board with you about that. Depth on the O-line, imperative. They don't have a natural guy, I don't think, to step in a tackle. If God forbid, Smith or Wirfs goes down, I mean, that's an issue. But most teams, that's an issue. Just like backup quarterback. Most teams, you know, the guy goes down, Russell Wilson goes down, Josh Allen goes down, you're done. But, Steve, I'm with you about depth in the trenches. I'm all for that.
You know, Steve, I'm going to back you up with something you said. Wide receiver wouldn't be a dumb move because passing league. Not the bottom rung, which is Justin Watson, but the next bottom rung. Tyler Johnson?
Yeah.
The Bucs make the Super Bowl without him?
Yes.
Do they?
He had that huge catch. I know what you're saying, Lee.
And that great play that he made, call it an acting job, but hey, he got the job done. He got a flag.
So, Lee, why are you arguing with me when I say I want to see more Tyler Johnson? You're all over me.
Because would you trust Tyler Johnson to start in a playoff run?
Not right now.
Over,
no.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, get Antonio Brown. You know, I love Tyler Johnson, but Tyler Johnson's still a project. He still has work to do. I think someday he might replace Chris Godwin. I believe that. Not that I have anything against Chris Godwin. I love Chris Godwin. But I'm thinking combination of money and combination of development. I believe the Bucs look at him. No one's told me this. This is just speculation. I believe the Bucs look at him as, if need be, he could be Chris Godwin's replacement. I really believe that. But he's got work to do. And if you're going to make a Super Bowl run, I don't want to be banking on hope and develop.
Right.
Nor should you be.
Well, I'll say this. Tyler Johnson, I'm a big fan. I mean, I'm a fan of everybody on the damn team. They won the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. Yeah. But he caught a dozen balls last year, a dozen. I mean, he's green. Right. We don't know enough. It's not enough of a sample size. I'm thinking, and the point I was putting it out there, Ira, I know you think I'm crazy, but if you have a receiver that you really like at 32, I mean, I think of Calvin Ridley. When he came out, he was at the end of the first round for Atlanta. Everybody was saying, what are they doing drafting a receiver? They're loaded, unbelievable. And, of course, Atlanta's problem is defense, and I'm not backing the Falcons here, but Ridley walked right in to a loaded receiver room where he didn't have to be the number one guy, and he caught 10 touchdowns his rookie year, like 800-something yards, and was excellent and has continued to be excellent and continues to be inexpensive. If you could get a guy like that, I mean, why not?
I know, but Julio Jones was getting on a little bit. You know, he was older than I think Evans, certainly Godwin, but maybe a little older than Evans was at this point. Steve, I got a question for you. You're very good on these salary questions, and I'm not. A couple of weeks ago, did some kind of a deadline pass regarding O.J. Howard in terms of not getting a cap hit if you would have dropped him 2 weeks ago, where now it would cost $6 million and change? Is that true, Steve?
O.J. Howard's situation is complicated, but O.J. Howard's injured, so they'd have to come up with some sort of injury settlement. So it's gray area.
You know, Lee, with that Achilles injury, that really squashes his value in terms of maybe a draft night trade or something. I think teams would be very wary about taking him.
Yeah, I don't think he's tradable. I mean, I wouldn't trade for a guy with his injury. And it was late in the year. I just wouldn't do it. You know, I'd want to see the guy at least go through some regular practices to see what he looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some sort of base salary guarantee, Ira, that was triggered, but it's still unclear to me. They may have been forced into keeping him because he wasn't healthy and it was guaranteed for injury. It's just too much lack of clarity for me at this point. You know, of course, you know how it is. The Bucks don't reveal this stuff, and then somebody reports it, and then 6 weeks later, somebody has the real truth sort of thing. So, but if they are having all three tight ends, you know, look, last year, Cameron Brate was completely buried on the bench until OJ got hurt. So he was a very expensive luxury. And if they're in that situation again, I guess they want it. Like Lee says, can't quibble with anything because they had the right formula to go all the way.
Lee, there's one guy that we haven't mentioned. You know, we're quick to jump on this guy, Lee, but we got to give him his due. And I've been part of the brigade.
Roy Cummings?
I've been all over him.
Roy Cummings?
Steve, you're in rare form tonight. But Lee, another thing that jumps out on this video, NFL Films, is, you know, they zero in on Chase Young when Washington clinched a playoff berth coming off the field. I want Brady. And that was a big storyline, Lee, as you know, and you probably wrote, you know, three stories about it that week. And Donovan Smith dominated him. He owned him. And it was far from the only very solid game that Donovan Smith played during those closing eight games. He showed me a lot.
So, Ira, of course, the Bucks continue to roll on. There's more news on the contract front. They're clearing more space. This time it's Donovan Smith, which is a very interesting choice, Ira, to get an extension, a two-year deal added on top of his what would have been a contract year in 2021. Smith has already made 94 starts, 98 if you count the playoffs. That's some good mileage on him. He's about to turn 28 years old. And, of course, he got the job done down the stretch, but he is restructuring. They're going to save about $10 million and give him another guaranteed year. And away they go, Ira. What do you make of this endorsement of Donovan Smith, in addition to the fact that this means Tristan Wirfs will be staying put for the foreseeable future?
The Light Greenberg train rolls on, Steve. You gotta be impressed with what these guys are doing. They understand the way you can manipulate the salary cap. They're very good at it. As far as Donovan Smith, you're right. Tristan Wirfs isn't going anywhere. Why would you move him, Steve? I mean, he's probably the best right tackle in the league as a rookie. And left tackle can be tricky. There's no question Smith earned this move in January. A big, big January for Donovan Smith. And then he played Frank Clark, you know, the Chiefs' best edge rusher. And you never heard a peep from Frank Clark. I've been won over, and I didn't like the fact that every time we talked about Donovan Smith, the first thing we said was he's durable. I mean, it's great that he's durable, Steve, but that can't be the first one. And I always said he was, you know, middle of the pack, and now I got to think he's top 10, top 12. And the Bucs want to secure him. Steve, it reminds me of a scene out of one of your favorite movies, Steve, Rounders, about the poker business. And at the end of the movie, the Matt Damon character beats John Malkovich at the table, Steve, in his own club. And he's got all these Russian mobsters behind him. And Malkovich says to his gang, pay the man his money. Now, Steve, he said it in Russian, and I can't do Russian.
Ira, some people might say you can't do English.
Hey, and, you know, and Malkovich's Russian wasn't that good either, Steve. Wasn't that good.
Hey, listen, Sage, I'm just blown away here. This is a big commitment to Donovan Smith. No big surprise, but it is to see it in print, in ink. This pushes him, Ira, to 8 years of guaranteed Buccaneers football status. That's beyond Donald Penn. He's more than halfway to Paul Gruber when this contract is done. And they're almost setting him up to be a franchise iconic left tackle. We might be talking about Donovan Smith pushing 10 years eventually and talking to him about the Ring of Honor one day. Crazy to think about.
Absolutely crazy. And Steve, you know, it's confirmation of something you said, which is Light knows how to pick offensive linemen. I mean, the proof is there.
You know, week 9 was a disaster against the Saints, an embarrassment. And even Arians, you know, couldn't alibi at that point after the game. He said he got beat, said he was whooped. Donovan Smith showed a lot of pride. Lee, I gotta give him his due.
I've been a defender of his much more than I've been a detractor. Now, he's had some games where he deserved to get repped. But overall, he's better than so many people make him out to be. I mean, I can tell you this, and you probably know this as well, Ira. The opinion that shot callers at One Buck have of Donovan Smith is maybe night and day difference than what many fans' opinion of Donovan Smith is.
Yeah.
And especially at his salary. And you know, I know there was a chorus up until the time the Bucs won the Super Bowl. There was a loud chorus to get rid of him. And when you ask, because the Bucs had no interest in running off Donovan Smith. When they needed him, which is down the stretch and into the playoffs, he played fantastic.
Steve, protection was a big plus, and Brady will be the first to tell you, down the stretch. And that can't happen if your left tackle's not playing very good football. That can't happen.
Ira, quick question for you. The Patriots, for their many years, the Patriots were notorious, or maybe not, maybe that's the wrong word, but they would win a title and let players go, not want to pay the big names to come back. There's a long list of guys who, yeah, you won a championship with New England, and Belichick said, thanks a lot, see you later. And the Buccaneers, however, are taking the opposite tact. We won a championship. We want everybody back. We're not signing one free agent if we don't have to. We're keeping our coaches. We're doing this. We're doing that. Everybody back, even Blaine Gabbert. So what I want to ask you, Ira, is are you a little leery about that? Do you think that, you know, maybe the Bucs are underestimating the value of bringing in some new blood to shake things up a little bit, to spice up the locker room a little bit? What do you think of that?
Well, Steve, I understand your point, but I'm not sure that New England and Belichick were thinking about that after they won that first one in the 2001 season. That's when it was all new for Brady and Belichick and Kraft and that franchise. And the same holds here, Lee. You know, they just won it. So, you know, to think that you're going to move on with these guys and bring in fresh blood, that's not the way you think, Lee. That's not the way you think. I think the 03 Bucks remained relatively intact. You know, Lynch was back. Barber, Brooks, Sapp, Simeon, they were all back. Brad Johnson, Pittman, Keyshawn, at least at the start of the season. So they, you know, they were not in the mood, you know, to move on from guys. And Lee, with each ring, you know, that Brady and Belichick put on their finger, their confidence grew that, hey, we can do this with some other guys. But I don't think the Bucks are at that stage.
I got you, Ira. Well, we're not at that stage either, so we're going to keep you around for a little while. Of course, your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. That means they're an institution in the Tampa Bay area. General Manager Sean Sullivan, the GM, the boss, he's ready to help you personally. That's not a joke. It's not a slogan. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there. Of course, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And as we heard earlier, our friends are there 24/7 at Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have any issue in your home, any kind of disaster, Sage, do you have words of wisdom for the Bucks fans as they sit here late March, thinking about the draft, thinking about getting back into the stadium, thinking about waiting for that amazing schedule to be released, hopefully next month, late next month, or right around the draft? Any thoughts?
I got the perfect exit line, Lee. You know, I started the podcast recounting a dream about Tom Brady. Lee, in 3 or 4 hours, I'm going to hit the sheets. And I'm a little apprehensive because, Lee, what if I come on the next podcast and say Brady has been replaced by Alex Kappa? What am I going to do, Lee?
I think you need to change your schedule of what kind of entertainment you watch before you go to bed.
Yeah, Ira, that's the wrong long-haired blonde to be dreaming about.
Good night, gentlemen.